95.5 KLOS. Some Tom Petty this morning. Going to give you plenty of that this morning as we remember and play some of the great Tom Petty songs that we all love. Dave and I, as a matter of fact, sitting here talking about the beginning. So much talk about that this in this town this week of the early shows, the Tom Petty opening for Blondie shows at the Whiskey back in the late 70s. Pretty nuts. Yeah, Rob Bushka has his hand up. Yes, Rob.
Can you play Running Down a Dream sometime today, please? It's my favorite Petty song.
Yeah.
You guys are the music guys. I talk sports, a little tiny bit of music, so that's a good one.
It's absolutely, it's a
can
great
you cue that up? Is that all right with you, Jim?
That's absolutely okay. Okay. Yeah, squeeze that in wherever we can. We can do a bunch of that.
I'll be here till 9 if you need me.
Hey, football, no London football game this morning, so we're not in the middle of a 20-0 blowout from when
3-3. Not in the middle of taking the under.
But we have baseball to talk about this morning because we had some pretty good baseball last night. ALDS, NLDS mixing up different days. NLDS yesterday. Mm-hmm. Start with Bryce Harper and the dramatic home run that he hit in the eighth inning. Man, the crowd went nuts because you knew that was a behemoth shot. That was a moonshot. You knew it was going, so the crowd went crazy. But the second shot, Zimmerman, his was kind of a looper. You didn't know if it was going to get out, and the crowd got very excited as soon as he hit it. As it was going to the warning track, they kind of got silent as it just got over the wall. Man, they went just absolutely bonkers in the nation's capital for the Nationals' big comeback last
night. Yeah, Harper tied it with the game, and then Zimmerman won that game against the Cubs. Now they go back to Wrigley Field. You know, I said on my other show across the street last night, what I like about Harper is how aware he is of what's going on in culture, sports in general. You know, he's doing his post-game presser. He's like, now we got to go to the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. I mean, that's a phrase, if you didn't know. That's what they actually call it. Yeah. Just like he would know it's the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. All you had to do, if you ever caught the All-Star game, and why would you? It's in the middle of July. You're out at the beach. You're hammered. Probably didn't see it. But did you see when he's out there playing, I believe it was left field or right, and he's talking to Joe Buck during the game?
Did you see?
Tried that this year. He's mic'd out there talking to him during the game, and out of nowhere, he's like, man, how about that Dak Prescott? I'm a big fan right now. Starts talking football, and Joe Buck's like, yeah, hell of a player.
Yeah. You know?
And the fact that he's doing a baseball game talking football, and Buck's like, that guy's pretty smart. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty cool thing. It was a tough week for Bryce Harper, and you've known Bryce for a while. I have as well, too. He's from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
A Vegas native. Him and Chris Bryant, who plays for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Their young superstar. They did a PSA talking about the tragic events last week, how they're donating, how they're helping, how they're doing what they can as well, too. And it's just, it's tough because that obviously transcends sports. You know, that's life right there. For those guys to be able to be cognizant and aware instead of just motoring down and playing with their head down, you know. Plus, Vegas also had somewhat of a special week because their hockey team started play for the first time ever, the Vegas Golden Knights. They were on the road in Dallas, but still, they didn't score until 5-6 minutes left, and boom, back-to-back goals. They win it 2-1. You know, kind of like someone was watching over them. So it was a pretty nice and touching moment. I know the fans are going to rally behind them when they get back to Sin City.
I want to say one thing about the shootings in Las Vegas. So many people talk about it. It's so tragic. It's so horrible. What could I do to help? You know what you can do to help? You can donate blood.
Yeah.
When you have 500 people injured, 500 people injured, that's a great thing you can do. I mean, you know, you don't have to give any money. Just roll up your sleeves someplace and donate some blood. That would really make a huge difference. We know all about that here at KLOS. Another baseball game last night. A little bit more interest here in Los Angeles. That's the Dodgers getting up 2-0 on the Diamondbacks. I have to say this. We wanted the Diamondbacks. If you're Dodger fans, you wanted the Diamondbacks, although you had lost 6 in a row to them. That was during that slump. You really, statistically, wanted the Diamondbacks over the Colorado Rockies. So the Dodgers kind of got what they wanted in that one.
Why do they want them over the Rockies?
Pitching matchups, I think, is why they said, you know, the way that it's set up better.
See, I thought it was the other way around, because the Diamondbacks had won the season series with the Dodgers. 11
in a row.
Yeah, 11 games to 8. It's because they swept them and did really well.
All 6 of those came at the end when the Dodgers were sleepwalking through September.
So we didn't know what Dodger team we were going to get. In fact, the Dodgers scored 8 or more for the first time ever in postseason history in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
So where's that going to come from? Here's the stat that made it scary, and here's what makes the Dodgers such a good team. you don't know who's going to do it every night. Okay, you take on Washington, right. You take Harper, Zimmerman. Well, obviously that's a deal. Take out Harper. Yeah, easier said than done. Okay,
true.
But you know, it's who are you going to say that with the Dodgers? Take out what, Puig in his arm? Okay, that's going to be hard. Don't hit it to him in right field. Okay, take out Turner. What do? We'll throw it up by his beard and he can't see. He'll lose the ball in that hair somewhere.
The beard and that's it.
I mean, you got to find different ways for all. Even Ethier played, and Ethier will just give you fits because he's a veteran, even though he's not any good anymore.
And
still,
even Agon will do it too. He'll go up there and get a pinch hit for you when
you least expect it.
Exactly.
And that's what the Dodgers wound up doing. And here's a stat that's crazy. I have no idea. If you actually look at these scores here, they give up 6 home runs. The Dodgers. If I were to tell you, hey, after the first two games, Dodgers gave up 6 home runs, you only hit one.
I think we were down 0-2.
Oh, yeah, you're up 0-2.
Yeah,
you're
amazing. And Kershaw, again, in the seventh inning. Mm-hmm. The seventh inning, back-to-back jack. I couldn't believe. I was sitting there watching it. I was screaming at the television, okay, go get him!
I like you to obviously get by this series, though. That's going out on a limb. Arizona's got to win 3 straight. They may win Monday because you got Greinke going there, but aside from that, whether it gets back to L.A. or not for a Game 5, you never want that to happen. But I see the Dodgers maybe taking it in 4. But keep your eye on this Cubs-Nationals thing. They're both equally as good, and it's you're not out of the woods with either of those two.
No,
the Cubs
like
have played the best baseball
too,
in the second half. Yeah, the Cubs were 2 games below 500 at the break, and now they're 22, 23 games. You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, scary.
So, yeah, it's good stuff, man. That's not even getting to the American League stuff. Those are East Coast teams, and we don't care.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Red Sox, Yankees. If you're a transplant,
both of those series are upside down. The Red Sox and the Yankees both down 0-2 in their series. That's role reversal for what they're usually doing this time.
Yeah, but they're both better teams are losing to as well, too. Man.
Coming up in just a minute, the Locals Only Report, NFL style. We'll let you know what the local NFL teams are in for today. It's Sports on Tap 95.5.
Yeah, Seahawks open up a can. That's what you're in for.
KLOS. 95.5 KLOS. Some Tom Petty. Actually, Tom Petty without the Heartbreakers. That's from Full Moon Fever. Actually, it's Tom Petty and a Heartbreaker, because that's Mike Campbell still playing the guitar on there. No question about that. That request goes out to Rob Buskin this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Heard it all the way over here. It's like sometimes we're in the same room with each other.
Hey,
it's awesome.
Alex running late, so let's get to Locals Only and talk about the Locals, and I'm holding up the air quotes here, the two local teams and the team that draws the highest ratings in Los Angeles.
We'll start with the Raiders.
So we'll start with the Raiders. Hosting the Baltimore Ravens today. You know what? The Raiders, there's a lot of talk this week that they should have gone out and got Colin Kaepernick and got somebody that could come in there and run that offense. Mm-hmm. Look, EJ Manuel is not the answer, and I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah, it's there has to be a time where and is this Kaepernick thing? I don't think this Kaepernick thing would be a circus anymore.
I don't think so either.
Look how many other people gone after you and screwed stuff up, and who's the best option out there? When we think backup quarterbacks, who really walks around saying, my team's got an awesome backup quarterback. I wish my guy would go down.
Well, look, the Patriots do that because they're paying Jimmy Garoppolo $20 million to stand around and hold the clipboard on the sideline.
Right, and actually he is capable. We've seen what he's been able to do, but outside of that, nobody really feels good about their starting quarterback going down. You gasp and you hold your breath. I certainly don't. Mm-hmm. And Kaepernick, I think, would be a great answer. I honestly wanted the Seahawks to sign him last year as well, too. It's going to be a distraction before the season. What if the players like him better than Russ? Right now, you don't care because Raiders without
a
good quarterback.
Sorry, I don't want to go off. You talk about your team enough. I don't need me to pile on here. But, I mean, that's the weird thing about that is that the dissension, if you will, or the reluctance to do it was by the team. It was the play. You know, the coaching staff was like, we don't want to create a quarterback controversy by bringing him in here. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Russell Wilson is Houdini in my eyes as far as NFL quarterbacks go. Colin Kaepernick is far from that. They're not even the same. I don't know how you could even think for a moment that there'd be a quarterback controversy.
The players made it a racial thing. Okay. Russell's Tiger Woods. Okay. Russell's
he's black
but he's not really black enough. He's not that blackest show on ABC. Okay, that's what it is. So and Kaepernick is more Black Panther than anything else. So what's going to happen if he winds up coming in doing a great job? Now all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, that's our boy over there. You know, so yeah, you're not going to get that issue with the Derek Carr. But the Raiders got to do something. This is going to be a spitting image of what we saw last year when you went to Houston and you got beat in that first playoff game.
You're missing your number one quarterback. That's not a good thing. So I mean, you know, that all bets are off. You need some beast mode to step up. You need your defense to to try and keep you in it. Baltimore is the one doing the traveling here, and they don't know what's going on with that running game, so we'll see what happens there. But the Raiders are actually 2.5-point favorites at home against Baltimore, but that's as much about Baltimore as it is about them.
Well, it is, and what Baltimore team's going to show up? You got two teams that are 2-2.
Yeah,
the team
you've seen two teams.
Team that gets worked over there in London, or another team that comes over here and can lay the hammer on people, too. So that's just one of those games you want to stay away from.
All right, that's one of the afternoon games. Other afternoon game is going to be Seattle at the Rams. The Rams have been in first place for a couple of weeks, but this is the chance to really be in first place. Yeah. This is the team that you got to beat. They have ruled the NFC West for a while now, and if you want to be first in the NFC West and really consider the first place team out here, you got to beat Seattle. Seattle is visiting the Rams. The Rams are a slight favorite, 1.5-point favorite here. You know what? Seattle has had a really hard time in, I don't need to tell you this, has had a really hard time when they come to Los Angeles. In the last 6 years in the Russell Wilson era, they're 1-5 in Los Angeles. So they have a tough time.
Yeah, and that win was in St. Louis when they won that game, too. That was in St. Louis before they were there. And, yeah, just something with the matchups. Look, this Rams team, I'm taking them as for real. I think the Rams are going to win this game. I expect them to win this game. Their offense has gotten better because you add Sammy Watkins and you add Robert Woods. When you do so, now I got somebody that can actually catch it over here.
Well, but you got a guy calling the right plays, too, because, Todd Gurley was misused last year, and all the blame went on the offensive line. Now, all of a sudden, you're throwing him a couple of bubble screens, and, he's the best running back in the entire league.
True, but they didn't have any other weapons besides Gurley last year. He got everything, so you stack 11 guys on Gurley. Hey, Todd, we're coming for you. I know you're going to get, and nobody can overcome that. Now, if you're like, hey, 11 guys are out for Todd, then Sammy's over here, Woods is over here, hey, guys, I'm open over here, so who are you going to cover? The Rams? If they can get enough time to do that. And one thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is one of the Seahawks' best pass rushers, Cliff Avril, had a spinal cord injury that I saw last week, and it was ugly, and he's probably going to be done for his career. So you take Avril and Michael Bennett, now you cut that in half, because Avril's just as good as Bennett. Bennett just runs his mouth more. That's going to hurt Seattle significantly in a major way. But Seattle did explode offensively in the second half last week. Yeah, it was against the Colts, but look, the Rams' defense isn't any good anyway. They gave up over 30 to Dallas, so really, I think this game could actually wind up being a track meet. I really could.
Yeah,
I may like the over on this one.
We like the track meets. 46 and a half for the total, so we can hope that that happens.
Yeah, I think that can be over. Yeah, absolutely.
The other local team, the Chargers, on the road at the Giants. This is the battle of the winless teams. I mean, unless we have a draw, we're finally going to have a win for one of them. But look, I see this as a shootout as well. I don't see the Giants as a great, big, scary defense, and we know the Chargers are never really a scary defense. So this is going to be about shootout. Who can make plays, I think, for this early game, 10 a.m. game for the Chargers at the Giants?
No, it's not. It's 6-6. It's going to finish on tie. They're going to go into overtime.
No
one's going to score a touchdown. No one's going to score a touchdown. They're going to miss 4 field goals each. It's going to finish 6-6.
I have to play Philip Rivers on one of my teams today, so let's hope that you're completely off.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, man.
Fantasy football. 95.5 KLOS. Sports on Tap with J.D. and the Bush. We need to roll some Raider music here. I believe the show's attorney will not make any comment until he hears his Raider music. Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group on the phone with us now to talk a little. Well, listen, you handle clients. First of all, good morning, Drew. Thanks for joining us.
Like my contract says, I'm not going to say a word until I hear the Raiders music in the background.
Okay, can I give you the Jeopardy theme until that happens? Oh, there it is. There it is.
Okay, sorry. Good morning, Jim. Good morning. How are you?
Fabulous.
What am I, chopped liver? Am I not here either? Hello?
Hey, Ron. How are you?
Hi.
Good to hear you again.
Yeah, I'm fine, Andrew. Jesus, killing me, Smalls. Hey, when are you guys going to get smart and sign Kaepernick?
EJ Emanuel, let's see how it does. Got to give him a game, but I'm not against it. I'm not against upcoming and playing for the Raiders. I think it's, back in the day, it was all the cast offs went to the Oakland Raiders. And so, listen, let's keep the theme going.
Yeah, that is the deal. I wanted to get you on here this morning and talk about Cam Newton because, he misstepped. I mean, obviously, it's kind of actually, look back, it's kind of funny. A guy that has two daughters that would make an insensitive statement like that about women. You got to be smarter than that. See, you can tell those girls are very small in his house. I have two daughters also. You learn how to deal with that as life goes on. But, he kind of misstepped. How much money do you suppose this winds up costing him?
Yeah, I mean, I have a daughter as well, and believe me, I've had to, really change, watch my mouth, and more so for these guys. I mean, it is entertainment, but it is a business, and, in business, there is free speech, but it might cost you something, as we always say. And, I mean, in reality, probably Cam Newton is probably not going to lose a lot out of this. I mean, Gannon Oikos is the one sponsor that has definitively said that they are not going to work with him any further. That is about $1 million a year for him in that deal. But remember, these contracts, you know, the lawyers are very smart, and what they do is they set up these contracts. So even if Oikos pulls out, you know, he's probably going to get a good chunk of the money. What the problem is with that is that moving on in the future, you know, when you do a commercial on TV, you get paid every time that commercial runs, whether, you know, in perpetuity, yeah, basically, mm-hmm, and you're not doing any work. It's the sexiest word in the English language, residual. And, you know, that's the key, is that he's not going to get those residual checks anymore.
Well, also, I don't know if you've seen this, but Dannon didn't waste any time. They dropped him. They went out and signed Dak Prescott.
Like the same day.
Did $3 million for it, too. So what's the chances that, Cam Newton's going to sue Dak, and B, he's at least going to take a swing at him next time they see each other?
That, you know what? There's some lawyers out there who might take on that case. I think I probably deal with a couple of them regularly. I would not take on that case. Probably slim and none, but it should be interesting.
And finally, we're wondering if the University of Florida is going to wind up suing the LSU band, because apparently Tom Petty is from Gainesville, and so the Gators put on a nice little tribute at halftime, but the LSU band came out and kind of stomped over the end of it with their performance, and fans are very upset. I think we may have some kind of fan gathering that get together and file a class action lawsuit against LSU. What do you think the chances of that?
Well, what are the chances of the fans gathering together and filing class action? Pretty good. What are the chances of it being tossed out of the court immediately? Pretty good. I was kind of heartbroken myself when I heard passing Tom Petty, and he is from Gainesville, or was from Gainesville, and yeah, it's a little insensitive, but you know, I get questions all the time about, you know, potential litigants coming in and, well, can I sue somebody for this? Can I sue somebody for that? The answer is yes. Anybody can sue anybody for anything. Doesn't mean it's going to last very long.
Where was that game played?
Which game?
That LSU game.
Florida.
Yeah. So how LSU dissed Petty in Gainesville. This wasn't in Baton Rouge, where the Florida. Saying. Hey, this is part on Florida. Okay, I don't know. If I'm a student, I beat the hell out of those guys before they ever get on the bus. Then again, that's just me. What are the chances you can sue somebody for beating the hell out of them?
Pretty good.
But Florida, can't they get away with anything? I'm going to beat somebody up here and then go down to Florida because they can't touch all my money I've hoarded, right?
Listen, my parents live in Florida, and I say to them, every time you hear one of the weirdest stories in the news, guess where it's coming from?
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida's awesome, man. Florida's a trailer park with palm trees. I mean, that's where I'm a Florida. So, isn't that what they call it?
Are you enjoying your going to your Charger games wearing your Raider gear?
Oh, I thoroughly am. Last week it was like an Eagles home game.
Nice, yeah.
And those Eagles fans who start screaming, you know, chanting "Cowboys suck" in the middle, nothing's going on, and just all of a sudden, Cowboys suck.
Right.
At the Charger Eagle game.
Yeah, I started at first to feel bad for the Chargers because everybody's rooting against them, and then I went, "Oh, screw it." And you know what? They're Chargers, and then I started going Raiders. In the middle, so it was good.
Yeah. They do that. If you pay attention, when you're at a Dodger game, they're playing the Cardinals. And when they're doing the organ, they're like, Giants suck, right? They're not even playing them.
So the show is full of troublemakers, is what I learned. All right, Drew, thanks very much, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Gentlemen, take it easy. Thank you.
There you go. There's the show's attorney, our entertainment attorney that handles all things legal.
We got to do at least one remote from Florida.
Seriously.
Oh.
Honestly.
Little Havana. Oh.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, Cam Newton's in trouble for speaking his mouth, but a head coach is not. We'll tell you about that coming up. Sports on Dab, 95.5 KLOS. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. JD in the Bush, we do Sports on Tap every Sunday morning from 7 to 9. Thanks for joining us. You know how songs, you associate songs with movies and stuff like that? That is forever Silence of the Lambs now. Mm-hmm. You know, that girl right before she gets kidnapped, driving down the road, singing that tune. Hey, let's take
she
you now magically to Las
or
Vegas.
Else she gets the hose.
RJ Bell is standing by, one of the nation's top handicappers. As a matter of fact, when the Associated Press is looking for the line, they call this guy. And you really want to know what's going on, you got to check out his podcast because every week you can check him out over on Podcast One, The Dream Preview. Good morning, RJ.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, first question is, what's the mood like in Las Vegas after this horrible thing that went on last weekend? I mean, the whole place has got to be still in shock, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, Vegas is built on moving forward, and I was very impressed and heartened, quite frankly, with the city's response. It was a real pushback to this and trying to help everyone that, you know, that we could. And to me, I think the city gets a real good grade.
Let's talk about the first thing before we get to the business this week. We kind of have to back up and talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and Monday Night Football and what you described as maybe one of the worst bets in years, right?
Yeah, so Kansas City was favored by a touchdown on Monday night. They were up with only a few seconds left in the game by less than a touchdown. They kicked off. The Redskins tried a bunch of laterals. They were throwing the ball around, trying to get a miracle score themselves. KC picked the ball up, walked it to the end zone. Final score went over a touchdown. It was one of the worst beats if you had the other side, Washington. But Kansas City, by the way, one of the guys at our website had a 10-team parlay where the 10th team was Kansas City.
No.
He won $55,000 on that miracle play.
Wow.
I put the ticket up on my Twitter.
There you go.
Wow.
And apparently he only gets to keep $7,000 after taxes. Is that right?
Well, you know, there are, but he's not in California, so it's not quite as bad.
Go to Florida. They let you get away with anything there, as we've learned from doing this show, RJ Bell.
What about baseball? How's the betting in baseball been?
You know, very modest. I mean, hey, these are big games. Baseball fans care, and general fans care because it's the playoffs. But it's night and day, even a regular NFL game versus a baseball playoff game. Now, when we get to the World Series, there'll be even more action.
Are you still feeling the backlash from the 1919 White Sox or Black Sox scandal?
You know, that was my original best bet.
Right.
I had the Black Sox.
That's what I thought. Yeah, did you make those odds? Was that you?
Yeah. No. I actually was betting at that point more. And I will say this, is some people had an ethical problem with it, but, you know, when there's a short thing, there's a short thing.
Absolutely.
RJ, I want to stay with the Chiefs because the Chiefs and the Texans, very interesting game here. A lot of people regard the Chiefs as the best team in football right now. They're favored, but only by 2 points against this Houston team at home. How much has this got to do with Deshaun Watson?
Well, I don't think 2 points favored on the road for Kansas City is short. If anything, if this game were in Kansas City, they'd be favored by about 8. So it shows you that being favored on the road by 2 is pretty meaningful. That's why there's not that many road favorites in a typical week. Here's what I would say, is Kansas City is probably the best team, and at the same time, Kansas City is overrated. And that sounds like a paradox, but you can be the best and still be overrated. Because of that, I've bet Houston as a home underdog.
You know, a lot of people get parity and mediocrity mixed up. I'm always a pessimist, so I say you're all mediocre. Some people say, oh, look how the parity runs around the league this year. I mean, this is the earliest we've had no undefeated teams, essentially, but one. I mean, four teams, or one team after 4 weeks is all that's left out there. What's your thoughts on it this year?
I think it's because there's not any really good teams. As good as, or as much as we want to say Kansas City might be the best, and I think it's fair to say that, they're not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say there's some Pats teams in the last couple years. If we had a time machine and could play teams from different years, that would be almost a touchdown favorite over Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. The best team this year would be upwards of a touchdown underdog to some of the best teams of the last 10 years.
Wow.
RJ Bell joining us from Las Vegas talking about that number. Dallas Cowboys lost to the Rams last week. This week they're favored by just 2 points. They're at home hosting the Green Bay Packers. What's the smart way to bet here, RJ?
I think it's a lean towards Dallas. Remember, home field advantage is 3 in the NFL. So if you're favored at home by 2, that means your opponent is better. So the betting market, Vegas is saying Green Bay is slightly better than the Cowboys. I'm not sure I agree with that, though Cowboys are banged up on defense. So I didn't bet this, but I lean Dallas.
Yeah, I've always thought it's amazing how sometimes we sit here at the end of a game. You're so close on those over-unders. You're so close on the point spread. Statistically, take us inside this. Is there something that Vegas is better at than the other? as far as, you know, you always get the spread a little closer than you get those over-unders. What's harder for you guys to predict? It would seem to me the over-unders.
You know, that's a very sophisticated question.
Well, I'm that kind of guy. Sorry.
What you're asking is which lines are more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. The spreads in the NFL, so who's going to win by how many points, are more accurate than the totals. And here's the reason why. The more people who bet a given type of bet, the more accurate the bet gets. So the side bets, the spread bets, are more popular, and thus they're more accurate. So if you want to bet into the less accurate lines, which makes sense if you're trying to win money, you're going to have to bet some of the less popular ways to bet.
Okay.
And one of the most prominent of the secondary types is the totals, over, under a certain number of points in each game.
Just looking at last week's spread, seven teams went over, seven teams went over, right down the middle.
Yeah.
And with the spread, five covered and nine did not cover. So
you mean favorites or underdogs? Yes.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting thing. On Twitter, I put out, right before the 10 a.m. kickoff, the five games that the public has bet the most, meaning it's the most lopsided on one way. In the last 2 weeks, those 10 games, 2 weeks ago, five last week, are 1-9 against the spread. So not only has the underdogs been covering, but the games the public have been betting the most have been losing like crazy. Public's getting killed. Bookmakers are getting rich, or I should say richer.
All right, before we let you go, give us one quick hit, one best bet for the weekend for today.
I would say I like Houston the best, but we already talked that game. So right in the mix, I'm going to go with the Chargers. Now, local interest here, and everyone's thinking, ooh, the Chargers, they're 0-4.
Yeah, so are the Giants.
That's kind of the point, right, is the public's not on them now. That's like a cheap, it's like a house for sale in a down market. I think the Chargers are cheap, and I don't think the Giants are all that good either. And you could get up to a field goal and 3.5 in some spots on the Chargers.
So this is your fixer-upper game, right? This is your house for $37,000 you buy on the crappy side of town and try
Love
to flip it for $120.
Love it.
Exactly, but this only takes 3 hours, not 3 months.
Instead of three episodes.
Check out the podcast over on Podcast One, The Dream Preview. And to follow you on Twitter, how do they find you on Twitter, RJ?
It's real simple, RJ in Vegas.
At RJ in Vegas. RJ, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
That's solid stuff right there. How about that?
Yeah, you know, RJ actually emails me every week for college football advice. And I just, all you need to know is the Washington Huskies, UW. He's like, thank you, Rob. So Washington and Alabama.
Correction, RJ has his own podcast on college football, too. That's also on Podcast One.
All right, I'm a silent contributor. I kind of stay in the background.
Coming up next, it's going to be role play on the show. We've never done this before.
Do I get a dress up?
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah. We're dressed down, baby.
Yeah! 5 KLOS, Rock Southern California. Cam Newton in big trouble this week. Thanks for joining us here for Sports on Tap and the Big Sloppy Kiss. Cam Newton has been in trouble this week for a comment that he made to a female reporter. She asked a question. Well, actually, we have the sound of this. Is that right, Dave? Go ahead and let's roll the sound on that real quick.
Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
Okay, so now he's in all kinds of hot water for saying that. Here's a woman. She's asking a smart question. She's been a beat reporter for a couple of years, and he's lost sponsors. He's got, you know, women's association groups coming after him. You know, I mean, it's like his pants are on fire. The world is so bad over what he said there. And look, I don't want to become a Cam Newton apologist. I'm not apologizing for him. But he said, you know, girls don't play football, and it's just kind of funny to hear a girl talk about routes.
He's one of those kind of people that if someone farts on a plane, it's funny to him. You know, I mean, this is, look, he's one of those guys who just doesn't think a whole lot, you know, when it comes to Cam Newton. So, but all is well in the world. You'll be happy to know that when he got off the bus today in Detroit and rolled into Ford Field, he had a Rosie the Riveter pin on, which, of course, is the famous woman that was working in the factories during World War II.
He's doing damage control is what
he's doing.
I think
I'm going to say someone told him to do that, though. That's just me. I'm just hanging on a limb. Woo!
Well, you're way out there on that one.
free falling.
Hey, here's what I want to know, though, is that why is Brian Kelly, the head coach of Notre Dame, not in hot water? Because he had a similar exchange with a female reporter at Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. Now, we don't have the tape of that, but we've got the transcript. So we're going to do a little role play
this
here.
This is much better. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah?
All right, so I'm going to play the role of angry Brian Kelly, okay?
And I'm going to play the hot ditzy reporter.
Yeah, you're the hot ditzy reporter. You ready? Okay, that's good. All right, what's the question?
I'm getting to it.
Well, we'll get to the question.
How do you keep this loss from snowballing?
It's not going to snowball. Next question.
Well, what exactly will be different, I guess?
There's nothing different. I go to work every day and I coach my football team.
Okay. Yeah, I was just asking how it's different than last year's loss, losing by one possession.
Okay.
Tonight was also like that. I was just wondering, how's it different?
Losing by one possession?
Yeah.
No, it was 1 point. I mean, that's all of it. That's it. You did a great job, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
You can take the wig off now. But you listen, he's just as condescending. He's angry about it. I mean, this to me is worse than what Cam Newton said, isn't it?
He's a white dude who coaches at Notre Dame, okay? The Catholics got some pull. He's not going to get in any trouble. He's Brian, okay. He's Brian Kelly. All that's right. Really what you get when your school's called Touchdown Jesus. Come on. how you going to get upset of Touchdown Jesus? So that's really what it is. I mean, Cam's a clown.
Hey,
he doesn't get
we
it.
Talk about the double standard world that we live in, man. This is a big fat one. And you know, I can't believe that the entire media has whiffed on that. There's no one all week long has said anything about this because Brian Kelly's comments were only, what's this?
This was a month ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
3 weeks ago.
You know, when they lost to Georgia.
Yeah, nobody really said boo.
Yep, absolutely. So, and there was an interesting other point as well that I was listening to. And I think I heard some people, because I listen to different radio from different cities to hear them weigh in on stuff. And they said this was the chance for the guys who take a knee in the NFL to tell Cam Newton you're wrong. Because what have they been preaching? Equality. And if you just say equality, that's equality for everybody, is what it is, Jay. Not racial equality, which we know that's what they mean, but would that not include gender equality? So they said Richard Sherman's, the Michael Bennett's, the people that are taking the knee should step up and say, yo, Cam, this is exactly what we're fighting against, equality. You belittle this female, make her sound like she shouldn't be there. I know we're talking more of a black and white thing, but equality is equality, is it not? Nobody stepped up, nobody said that, which honestly, it's still a good old boy network. It is. They're okay with it, and Cam's the one that's paying the price for it, period.
Yeah. That's going to do it for our show today. I want to make mention of something that's going on. You know, the Vegas shooting that has happened has touched so many people. And it's touched a family that I've known for the better part of my life, the Dave family. And they're having a get-together today at Big League Dreams in Paris today, starting at 11 a.m. It's a home run derby in honor of Austin Davis and Tom Day, who are both lost in this horrible tragedy. I know that there's lots of these things going on this weekend all over the place. You know, call KLOS if there's a way we can get a shout-out for you later on today for what you're doing. Please call and let us know about that. Yeah. And hopefully they'll have a good turnout out there. Big League Dreams in Paris starting at 11 o'clock today. You don't even think you need to know anybody in the family. You got your aluminum bat in the car.
Have you ever been there to that place? It's
yeah,
a cool
it's
place.
Beautiful.
They call it Big League Dreams because the three or four fields that these little league kids go out and play on are replicas of your big league stadiums. You'll
stadium.
Have a Yankee Stadium and Ebbets Field, places that look just like it, the backdrop and everything. And it's and you can not miss any NFL as they got a cool bar with all the TVs in there as well.
These
too,
big league dream things are pretty cool, but this one will be today, 11 o'clock out in Paris. You want to do some good. People always asking how they can help out for this tragedy that happened in Las Vegas. Here's a family who's hit double shot. They lost two people.
Yeah, absolutely, too. And on a positive note for baseball here, we in L.A. hate anything that's east of the Mississippi, so root against the Red Sox and the Yankees. Okay, those games are starting at 11:30 and 4:30, and hopefully they'll both be done. They'll be out, and you can flex your Dodger stuff.
And boss of the big screen today on the NFL has got to be the Green Bay Packers at the Dallas Cowboys coming up at 4:25 this afternoon.
My boss is I'm walking down the street to the Coliseum. Go Hawks. That's my boss.
All right. Coming up next, it's Breakfast with the Beatles on 95.5 KLOS.